I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This content factory we call the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And if you don't have a sense of excitement about this, I don't know what you're here for.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I can't tell you enough how much I love your show.
With guest hosts Ben Lyons and Ryan Leaf.
Boom!
Live.
Boom!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rich Eisen brand is really hot.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
And now, sitting in for Rich.
We're ready for any challenge.
Here's Ben Lyons and Ryan Leaf.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Rich Eisen Show. Another day here with Ryan Leaf, Ben Lyons filling in for Rich. We appreciate all of you guys listening to us and rocking out and hanging out with us today. Ryan's already beasted Runyon Canyon. And
boom!
It's only 9 a.m. here on the West Coast. For those who don't know, Runyon Canyon, a very large hill, a very small mountain, however you want to look at it, right in the heart of Hollywood. And this guy's at 6 a.m. He's not only beasting Runyon Canyon, as I've come to find out, but he's also serenading the other hikers on the way. Imagine you're going for a morning walk, a morning jog, trying to get some fitness in, and you see the former number two pick coming up the mountain screaming. What were you singing this morning? What was on the playlist?
I was in an Eli Young Band mood this morning, so it was really kind of, steel guitar country music. So they were like, what, this, and it's cold, so I'm in like full leggings. I got like black leggings down to my ankles, and I was going to stay warm on my hike, so I kind of looked like a bandit singing some country music, and I got some funny looks. But I tell you what, boy, it just gave you a ton of gratitude this morning, I tell you. And knowing I got to come back and do this show, awesome opportunity that Rich affords us when he's gone. Talk sports, got some awesome guests. Yeah, I'm really, really in a lot of gratitude right now today.
Ryan Leaf and Ben Lyons filling in for Rich here. And you're absolutely right, Ryan, to have this opportunity to be able to hang out over the next few hours and talk sports, not only with you, but we're going to open up the phones today to our listeners, 844-204-RICH, because I know a lot of people are always hitting you up on social media. They're in your replies and your mentions and your DMs asking you for life advice, sharing their life stories. So we're going to connect with some people today a little bit on later on in the show. We've got some big guests coming on as well. We're going to talk all things NBA with Tim Legler. He's calling in at around 9:20 here on the West Coast, 12:20 back east. We're going to have Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network, who I know you're a huge fan of, does a great job breaking down all the numbers behind the game, and we'll talk to her coming up at 10:20 here Pacific. And then a little bit for the third hour of the show, we're going to have the most excited man in the world. He's very
interesting.
Who it is. He's very interesting. He's not the most interesting man in the world, but he's definitely the most excited. And so we're fired up to have him later on. And today's a special day, Ryan, because today is the birthday of not one GOAT, but two. Michael Jordan, of course, turns 58 years young today. Everybody knows that today's MJ's birthday. But for younger generations that didn't have the privilege of seeing Jim Brown, it's important we pay respect to arguably the greatest football player of all time. And I'll even throw that with the latest news of Tom Brady winning his seventh Super Bowl. I'll even throw that in there. Jim Brown, despite retiring at the age of 29, the greatest football player of all time. He turns 85 years young. And I thought the idea, Ryan, to start the show, just, when you hear that it's the birthday of these two icons of sport, they are the reasons why guys like you and I fall in love with sports. At a young age, you're enamored with these athletes. You're enamored with what they can do on the field. And I wanted to be like Mike, even though I was a Knicks fan, and he would crush us in the Garden all the time. So many of my May and springtime memories are filled with tears because of Michael Jordan. Yet, I still wear his sneakers, and I love the man. I almost equate it to my dad, who's a diehard Red Sox fan, his love of Joe DiMaggio and the respect he had for Joe D, the Yankee Clipper. What were some of your first sports memories? Who were the athletes, Ryan, as a kid growing up in Montana that made you want to pick up a ball, made you want to pick up a stick and get out there and play?
Yeah, basketball was probably the first love when it came to Terry Bradshaw on the football side. I was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so Terry Bradshaw, I wanted to be him. Lewis Lips, I don't know if anybody remembers that guy's name. He was a wide receiver for him.
Raider Art knows Lips for sure.
Yep. And then moved on to, you know, the basketball side, Magic Johnson, and then like Byron Scott. Byron Scott for me was I always loved how a guy kind of undersized would get up and dunk in that Showtime basketball on the break when he'd get a dish from Magic. And so the Showtime Lakers, but then Michael Jordan was, he just stood alone. So I had Jordan posters all over my room. Dominique Wilkins, because the way he could dunk, and I was, was a weirdo in Montana that had hops and he could dunk, and people were like, whoa, what's going on here? And then it progressed, right? When you got older, it got into, more relatable guys in terms of your age, and like Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose was my hero growing up in terms of basketball.
And that's what's so amazing about sports, because Ryan, you grew up in Montana. I grew up in the middle of Manhattan in New York City. We could not have grown up in more different environments. Yet the both of us gravitated towards a bald-headed combo guard from Detroit who, years later, as the twists and turns of my life would unfold, asked me to be in his family on Family Feud. I'm in Jalen Rose's family on Family Feud, and we won. We beat some guy from News Radio, I forget his name, and we won like $50,000 for his school in Detroit, the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. So my love of Jalen Rose not only started as a young kid, but I've been very fortunate as an older man to, I guess, be a part of his family. And that's the power of sports, is that you can connect people and bring people together. And we're reminded of that on a day that honors, Michael Jordan and Jim Brown. These are the two greatest athletes of all time, according to some. And they're the big reason why guys like you and I fell in love with the game in the first place. And, for those who want to go down the road of the Jordan-LeBron debate, this is not the place for that. We're not going to do that today. But for those who are a little younger, perhaps, and didn't get a chance to see Mike play and didn't know him beyond simply the sneakers and maybe some highlights, to you, Ryan, like, how do you describe to a younger sports fan of just how iconic, how big, how relevant Michael Jordan was at his heyday?
Oh, I can't. I mean, like, to your point, like, you growing up in the middle of Manhattan, me growing up in the middle of Montana, was still iconic to both. There's just so much content these days. If LeBron played in that era, it may be a different story. You may view LeBron James differently than the way we view Michael Jordan, because there was just no way, other ways to consume it. It was just all in, it was all in. There wasn't like another avenues or to hear from other players. I mean, it was Rashad, Ahmad Rashad following Michael Jordan around and just interviewing him all day, all day long, living with him. Who cares how that went,
I remember that footage of Michael Jordan throwing a football to Ahmad Rashad in his backyard, being like, wow, is he the greatest quarterback on earth as well? He might be. He's probably the best quarterback in Chicago since Jim McMahon.
I asked a different question. I was like, is Ahmad Rashad is he living with him, or is he like, has he been kidnapped and he's a hostage
in the
house?
Is he in his family
now?
Like Ben is in Jalen Rose's family?
Yes. That's what I wonder. But his impact, right? And then the shoes, the Jordan brand shoes, was every kid wanted them. They wanted a pair of Jordans. I remember the first pair I got, because they were so expensive, right? I remember they were like $125 or something like that. And we couldn't afford that. And I remember when Dad and Mom brought them home to me, or took me to go get them, I think my freshman year of high school, I was just like, oh, wow. But then I kind of, then I was like, I didn't like to be like everybody else. Everybody else wanted the Jordan shoes. So then all of a sudden I was like, Scottie Pippen's the man. He's the real man. And Pip came out with some shoes that were badass, and they had 33 on them. And that's the shoe I rocked most of high school was the Scottie Pippen. And I love that thing, man.
Aspiration, inspiration, these are themes that we can take away from our favorite athletes and why they make that sort of emotional connection to us. And the idea of a young athlete like yourself finding your body, finding your strength, finding your own power, to then see that and touch that and get those shoes and feel almost anointed or knighted in some way Can do wonders for.
And then you feel like you could play him. You know, I would wear I'd wear the knee sleeve on my left knee, folded over just for my Osgood Slaughter's on my knee.
I feel like Osgood Slaughter was in a disease that like only existed in the 90s. Does it exist now? Do people have
Osgood
Slaughter?
I'm sure it does, but now they probably have a pill for it.
Nobody talks Osgood Slaughter. That was a phrase that was such a part of my teenage years.
But it's those your growth plates growing so quickly that there develops this knee joint pain in your knee. And so I wore this knee sleeve just like Mike, and then I had the wristband on my left forearm just up a little ways, and that was. I understood that you used it to wipe your forehead, but I didn't sweat that much. It was because Mike wore it.
You have any real life encounters, or is it just dressing up like him for Halloween 365 days of the year?
Yeah. I've had a couple run-ins with him just through the Nike connection. Ron Harper, we were playing in golf with Ron, and me and Ron got on, and he's like, dude, come out to Chicago. I'm playing with Mike next week. So I went and did that. That was 1999, I think, maybe.
Uh-huh. So you played you played a round of golf with Mike in between Chicago and Washington.
Yeah.
So 99, yeah. He's retired, but maybe he's thinking, maybe I should get back in there. And maybe a round of golf with Ryan Leaf just lit a fuse in the goal. Knowing you, you probably crushed him on the golf course.
He didn't say many words to me. I know that. It's like who's this dude you bring around here, you know, kind of mentality. and then at this at Tiger Jam a few times in Vegas, you know, just you know rubbing elbows with those guys, with Jeter, with Tiger, and with Michael, and Charles. The only one I actually talk to anymore is Barkley, so I don't know what that means,
Now, when you're in the presence of greatness, though, like that, Ben Lyons and Ryan Leaf filling in for Rich Eisen, and we've got Tim Legler coming on at 9:20 here on the West Coast, is going to tell us a few things about playing against Michael Jordan on his 58th birthday today. But when you're in the presence of a lot of stars, and then an icon walks in, it's amazing to see the stars turn into fans. Like I when I was working at the E Channel, I got assigned the coverage of Oprah Winfrey's farewell show at the United Center. So I flew to Chicago, and we're backstage in the press line, and it's Madonna, you know, it's Tom Cruise, it's huge stars, yeah. You know, and walks Michael Jordan and just didn't do interviews, but just shook everyone's hand, and I just remember crumbling. Like I mean, what?
Dude, there's a thing about being starstruck. Like I don't get starstruck that often, but like, you know, when Kobe and I used to kick it early in our careers together, our assistants, because of course when you become, you know, pro athletes, you have to get assistants, but our assistants at the time had gone to high school together. So like that's how the connection happened. I started doing a lot of his charity things. He started doing some of mine. And then we were both young kids in Southern California trying to figure it out. And so I didn't really, there wasn't too much being starstruck there. I was just like, but I think I had a really hard time viewing people, in particular players, especially in football, as my peers. Like my last year of college, I was at Nike Town in Seattle during our bye week, and I bought a Danny Werfel Florida Gators jersey. I'm about to be the second pick in the draft and maybe win the Heisman Trophy the next year or during that year, and I'm walking around campus with a Florida Gators number 7 jersey on because, you know, it's just I had a hard time. I'm a kid from Montana. I was never supposed to be there, right? I was never supposed to get to the NFL. I was never, you know, I use this in a lot of my speeches when I start my speeches out. Like, I'm the only Montanan who's ever been drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. There are more first round draft picks in the Manning family than the whole state of Montana ever. So like never supposed to happen, never supposed to be here. Wow. You know, so you meet these people and it's like, oh my God, like you wouldn't believe how many times I asked, you know, like in the off season when I was at an event where I asked for autographs from like Emmitt Smith and then Steve Young and Joe Montana and all these, I have all these autographs stacked up on pictures of theirs in my back storage room. And I'm just like, at some point I got to frame these, put them up. But at the time when I was supposed to be peers with them, you know, Emmitt ended up being my teammate in Dallas. So it was just, it was weird, right? It's weird. So when you meet these people like that, yeah, I was kind of like, oh, it's Derek Jeter, you know, dude's from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Dude, that, you know, he's not, don't walk on water. Dude just did what he had to do. And,
see, for me, it's not so much about in the times in my life, my career, where I've been, you know, fortunate enough to meet or interview some of these big, big global icons or stars. Sure, it's exciting. But yesterday on the golf course, whew, Ryan, you missed out. I got so starstruck. I saw an actor named Kurt Fuller. Look up Kurt Fuller on IMDb and ask yourself, would you be starstruck? And if the answer is no, that's a you problem, because this man has been in so many films, and those are the types of people that I get excited about. And I literally screamed, oh my God, you're the guy from No Holds Barred.
Oh my God, you're the assistant to the mayor in Ghostbusters 2, and you are a hard ass, and you gave Bill Murray a hard time.
Wait, you're the bad guy in Wayne's World? Oh my God, I'm freaking out. And it's true though. Like, I genuinely react to that type of celebrity or
first
fame
time,
more so than a John. Than, you know, Hugh Jackman walks in, hey Wolverine, how you doing?
Hand to God, first time I met Richard Schiff at Mountain Gate, and we've become close friends, and we play golf, and he didn't know this, but I'm just, you know, I learned everything about politics pretty much by watching The West Wing. And so, you know, when I talk to him about it, of course, it's flattering for him, because it's a great, great part of his career. But he's another one of those guys, like, has been in everything. I was watching Seven last night. I was in a little bit of a dark mood last night, so I was watching Seven. And I forgot that Richard Schiff's in it. And all of a sudden he pops up, and I'm just like, oh my, he's in everything. He's in everything.
Richard Schiff probably forgot that he was in Seven. He's got that kind of career where he's at the point where he's like, I think I did this. I don't know.
By the way, the movie holds just David Fincher, but it is disturbing. And I was like,
yeah. I was about to say, Ryan, we're not going to just gloss over the fact that you're watching Seven. We got to get into that and unpack that. What's in the box coming up a little bit later in the show. And Schiff and I talk. He watches every single Knick game. He's on set in Vancouver right now shooting The Good Doctor. And he's literally just all game long sending texts. He's all in on Quickly. As big a Knick fan as there is in Hollywood. And I put him up there with Spike and everybody. So, all right, coming up next, we got Tim Legler is going to be calling in. Legs played, of course, against Michael Jordan. It's Michael Jordan's birthday today. Ben Lyons and Ryan Lee filling in for Rich Eisen. Jim Brown's birthday today as well. My dad's got some interesting Jim Brown stories, and we'll get into some of those next as well. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit later on in the show to Cynthia Freeland. You know her from NFL Network. She talks all the numbers, all the data that goes into football, and I know Ryan's a big fan, so we're excited to catch up with her. Plus, the most excited man in the world. There is nobody on earth more excited than our guest at 2 o'clock on the East Coast, 11 o'clock here in Los Angeles. So a big show. Ben Lyons and Ryan Lee filling in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on a Wednesday. Ben Lyons and Ryan Leaf filling in for Rich. Ryan, I've told you it's been a challenge all week long to put these Knicks tweets from my buddy Tommy Beer from Forbes in my back pocket and not share them with the class. However, I'm just so overcome with excitement right now. The Knicks' next two games are against the Magic and Timberwolves, the worst two teams in the NBA. And should the Knicks win them both, Ryan, it'll be the first time since February of 2013 that they are over 500. That's
you
fantastic.
Gotta be, you're a happy camper.
The first time they're over 500 in February since 2013. That's 8 years, Ryan Leaf. All right, right now, Tim Legler joins the show.
I was, you know how long ago that was? I was in prison. So, I mean, that's a long time ago. All right.
Tim Legler, that's why we love having you on the show today, man. You can chop it up with someone like Ryan Leaf, who says the last time the Knicks were good, he was in prison.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's tough to top that. I'll have a hard time topping that, I can tell you.
Great to have you, man. It's Michael Jordan's birthday. I know you played against Michael throughout your career. Do you remember your first Michael Jordan encounter?
Yeah, I do, actually. And all of those encounters. I had the great misfortune of spending my entire career in the NBA during the decade of the 90s. I came in 90, I left in 2000, and in that time, he won 6 championships. So you can imagine that entire decade was run by Michael Jordan, and I had a number of matchups against him. Yeah, I mean, the first time, obviously, you're out on the court, it's just nothing but, you know, a little bit in awe. And then I think over time, you start to realize this is a phenomenal opportunity because there is nothing he can do to me that he hasn't done to a lot of other people and much better players. So you start to take on this feeling of, I got nothing to lose here. And actually, I was always relaxed playing against him. The other thing I loved is when he guarded me, he loved to gamble. He was always leaving, you know, going, trying to rake down in the post, or he'd shoot a gap, you know, on the weak side of the floor trying to get a steal. And as a guy that shot threes, you know, you just go relocate. And if it came to me and he had too much space to recover, I could get a shot off against him. So that was always fun. But if I made a couple of them, he would tell me flat out, all right, that's it. You're done for the night. I'm not letting you get the ball anymore.
What? Yeah. Explain that one too. When you watched him do what he did, the feeling that you had of relaxation because he's done it to so many others. But was there a time? Do we have a picture out there of you being posterized like he's done to many other people? I think I would have taken that on as like, I need to have one of those at some point to really call my NBA career a success.
No, I don't think there's anything like that out there. There's actually some stuff I've been able to find over the years of like where I'm like having some success actually against either him or those teams. There's actually one great picture I have in my house. I have a lot of stuff, you know, that I've held on to from my career. There's a few items, but one thing I have that I really love is a picture of he and I standing shoulder to shoulder, and it's taken from behind us. I'm standing next to him. We're pretty much the same size, you know, Legler 23, Jordan 23, and we're having a conversation, and I remember exactly that conversation. Someone was shooting a free throw. We were standing at half court, and it was the first game after I had just won the three-point shootout All-Star weekend in San Antonio in 96. That was the very first game we played after the break. And we're talking, and people see the picture, and they think, oh, man. Because I got kind of a little bit of a smirk on my face. And people think, like, oh, man, is he talking mad trash to you? And I'm like, no, actually, believe it or not, he was, like, congratulating me on winning the three-point shootout. And he also, my daughter was born, like, a week before I went down there and participated in that competition, my first child. And they made a big story about that over the course of the weekend when I won it. And he actually asked me about her, you know, when are you going to get home and see that baby girl? It was a pretty cool conversation. And in that snapshot that it was taken, like, it could have so many different contexts if you looked at it. So that is a pretty special picture to me for that reason.
Tim Legler joins the show. He does a great job on NBA Radio, Sirius XM. Ben Lyons and Ryan Lee filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. Tim, the big news, of course, this week is that Anthony Davis did not tear his Achilles. He's got a calf strain. He's going to be out for a few weeks now. What does this mean for the state of the Lakers as they head into a big marquee matchup tomorrow night against the Nets?
Yeah, well, I mean, even bigger than that long term, you know, they have the great luxury of being the deepest team in the NBA, particularly at that position, because, you know, you can play LeBron at the four. You can play Kyle Kuzma there. You have Montrezl Harrell who can play 4-5. You've got a Marcus Gasol. You've got a number of guys to play in the front court on the deepest team in the NBA that, to be honest with you, they could take as long as they want with Anthony Davis. It was something like this. The fact that he already missed time, came back. Literally the game on Sunday, he says, I felt 100% fine. He plays 14 minutes and it actually resurfaces and it's much worse than it was before, is very alarming, I think, to the Anthony Davis, to the Lakers, that, hey, this could be something now that we need to err on the side of caution to an extreme. I'm talking, if you don't see him for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, it's not going to surprise me, because they're so deep. And even if they drop some games, who cares? They don't care. They don't care where they finish in the seeding. It doesn't matter that, you know, first of all, home court advantage doesn't mean anything because there's nobody in the building. But even if there are by that point, Lakers don't care where they end up. They know that they're the best team in the NBA if you have a healthy Anthony Davis. So I think the big picture for them now is they've got to take as much time as they need to figure out what exactly was causing this, to make sure it's not exacerbated and it's still fresh in everybody's mind what happened with Kevin Durant going out with what looked like a calf injury, coming back from that, trying to play in the NBA Finals and rupturing his Achilles tendon. Obviously, they were connected, and they're worried about something like that happening with Anthony Davis. So you might not see him for quite a while.
Okay. So if that's the case, right, or if something more tragic or happens in terms of his Achilles or calf, give us some teams in the West then. If the Lakers aren't going to be the presumptive favorite, if Anthony Davis can't make the impact that he can, what other teams should I be looking at, kind of from a novice NBA guy on the Western Conference side?
Yeah, so if you just picked up the paper today, or you went online, looked at the standings, and you go, you're not paying attention to the NBA to this point. You look in the West and you go, wow, look at this Utah team. They got a really good record. But you don't know what that's about. If you're watching them every night, you're saying to yourself, this is legit. Like, this team, for me right now, I would pick them over the Clippers in a seven-game series. Most people think the Clippers are the team that can most challenge the Lakers. I've seen enough of the Jazz. They check off every box. First of all, they play both ends, so they can beat you either way by outscoring you, or they can defend. That's one. Two, they've got a star scorer to build your offense around in Donovan Mitchell. He's legit. He's a 24-point game. A game guy. He has arrived. He's doing it every night, so he's legitimately reached that star status. They've got the best backline defender in the NBA in Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year. So they've always got rim and paint protection. They've got a sixth man in Jordan Clarkson who's lighting it up. He had 40 the other night off the bench against Philly. He's doing that at a level that the great sixth men in this league do, and the teams that win championships typically have a guy like that. So check that box. And then finally, they're shooting threes right now at a rate that has not been seen in this league ever. You go back to the Steph Curry days, pre-Durant, you think, oh, those are the greatest shooting teams I'd ever seen, Steph, Clay, and those guys. They were making 13 threes a night. This team is making almost 18 a night. That's the level of shooting we're talking about. So that last component in modern NBA, do you have a stable of shooters that shoot it at a high rate? They've got as many as anybody. So, and they're well-coached. So for me, I'm watching the Jazz saying, wow, first I say they're the biggest threat to the Lakers. And then I say to myself, if the Lakers aren't 100% for some reason, if they had to play them in the postseason, right now what I'm saying, I'm not sure I wouldn't pick the Jazz to get all the way to the finals, potentially win a championship. They're that good. The Clippers would be the next team. And then after that, you got some teams we're trying to figure out how good they are. Denver, Portland, Phoenix, main teams in that category.
Tim Legler joins the show. Ben Lyons and Ryan Lee filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. And you're talking about who I affectionately call the team in law, because my wife is from Utah. So I've watched a lot of Jazz basketball over the last 7 years. They have continuity as well. Joe Ingles, Derek Favors coming back, Rudy, Donovan. They've got guys who have played together. Quinn Snyder's been there now for a number of years. So I think continuity is often overlooked in today's modern NBA of player mobility, when it's almost like pickup or AAU and you just kind of throw teams together and see if it sticks. Kyle Kuzma being the longest tenured Laker last season, for example. So you saw Draymond Green's comments the other night about player trades and the way teams treat players. How important is continuity and chemistry when you're talking about today's NBA and the really elite teams?
Yeah, it's really hard to find. I think what's changed dramatically in the NBA is everybody has a short-term window now. Everybody. Whether you're coming out as a rookie, and when I was playing in the league, you came out, you got drafted. Literally in the moment, you're not thinking about playing for any other team in your entire career. You're thinking, I get this team drafted me, this is where I'm going to be. You're focused on like making that situation as good as it can be. Now guys come out of the draft, and they're by year two, they're thinking about their next stop. You've got star players that obviously now everything is a four-year deal at most, and it's really a four-year deal knowing that after like two, I can force my way out of here if I need to. Everything is short-term windows. Coaches that get hired on teams that have expectations, you better get it done in about 3 years or you're not going to be there. So with that being said, when you have a team that's got some familiar faces and they get a chance to build a rhythm and continuity with not only with each other, but with their head coach, I do think it's an advantage as long as you've got enough talent. Now you can keep some teams together that aren't good enough and you're not going to win anything because you do need talent to win. But when you've got that combination of all of the things I mentioned earlier and the boxes they check off with what great teams look like. And then on top of it, you add the rhythm, continuity, cohesion, and their connection to their coach. Yeah, you can build something special. And this is something that's been a progression for this team. You know, I love to see those teams that each year for about 4 years, you know, they keep inching that thing forward and moving the needle. Because those teams that appear out of nowhere overnight, they have a hard time sustaining it. The Miami Heat being a great example of that because they surprised everybody last year. And now it's like, okay, well, let's see if there's another gear for Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo, and these guys, Kendrick Nunn. These guys that shocked us last year, let's see if there's another gear. And now the expectations are so massive. And if those guys can't take that leap, then you see what's happening. That team's sub 500 now. They're gonna be better. But I just think that's cold water in your face as an organization. These teams that move the needle year by year over a 4 or 5 year period, to me, that is a more sustainable way to go about it, getting there and then staying there. There near the top for a while. And I think that's where the Jazz are poised to be.
You know, I've been being educated, of course, by Ben over the NBA the last few days hosting the show and the mobility, right? The time you played in the 90s where, you know, the free agency and guys moving around and guys having more advocating for themselves and picking where they're going. I mean, what do you think of this? The fans seem to revel in it because their team gets better immediately. Longtime fans are like, you know, I want some consistency. I want you to be loyal to your team. What do you think about all the mobility and players changing teams to win championships and how this has all played out over the last probably, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's a great question. I think, first of all, I'm obviously being a former player, I'm all about players making decisions for themselves. I never question when guys, change teams in free agency, even in a situation like Kevin Durant. You know, he got ripped for that because he went to a team that he was trying to beat, couldn't beat, and then went and joined up with them, and they were already great. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with what guys, whatever decision they make as a free agent and they want to go to. Even a situation where you're going to be a free agent and you kind of force your way out, I get it. Players have different reasons for wanting to do it. Okay, now having said that, that doesn't mean it's good for the league. I don't think it's good for the overall product of the NBA because, number one, I think we've created a situation where the league is just so top-heavy, more than it's probably ever been. And I don't know that the fan bases around the league stay interested as much as they need to because, let's face it, there's half the teams in the NBA that are not in a market that they're ever going to be able to attract these guys to come and pair up for their team. So those teams are always going to be on the outside looking in. That's the way it's going to be. And I think even when you draft a guy that's a top five pick, and maybe even a franchise-type changing player, well, it's one thing to draft them. You can't guarantee you can keep that guy beyond the fourth year. And it might take that long to even get to 500 if they go to a really bad team, which most of these guys do. So right about the time the organization is starting to take a turn, that guy's already thinking about going and pairing up with some other superstar, and it's not going to be in the city that drafted him. It's going to be somewhere else, and they're going to go there to give him a better chance to win. So it's great for those players. I do not think it's overall good for the quality of the league, the product that we put out there, and the overall general interest, I think, because I think there's a lot of foregone conclusions. Like, for instance, if the Lakers stay healthy, to me, you might as well play a 15-game regular season and just start the postseason. What's the point of killing 4 or 5 months waiting for the inevitable? And I think most people feel that way. So the drama of how the season's going to end, I think for a lot of people, is not there, and so you lose a little bit of interest during the course of the year. So I guess that would be my take on it. But I'm all about the players, man. Go. You got the power to do it, go do it. You got choices to make. Make the choices that are better for you, and certainly, by all means, go get as much money as you can, because it's a very finite number of years you can do this.
Tim Legler joins the show, former two-guard in the NBA and NBA analyst on ESPN and SiriusXM. And Legs, I want to leave you with this one as we wrap up here. There's a name that I'm going to throw at you, somebody who I've always patterned my game after, someone that's really inspired me to go out there and compete at a high level, and that's Robin Ficker. Robin Ficker, for those of you who don't know, was the heckler of the 80s and 90s. You played in front of Ficker down in Washington. There are no Fickers this year. We saw the one courtside Karen down in Atlanta, and it got ugly. Yeah. But we don't have fans engaging with the players. Does that impact the game? Are you noticing that the players are playing a little differently because there aren't guys like Robin Ficker courtside screaming at them and guys like myself saying, how many Harry Potter books have you read when Ricky Rubio's on the free throw line?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Robin Ficker. That's a great name from the past. And I actually got to Washington in 1995, and he was still there as a season ticket holder. And we had a function before the season, and I had just gotten there. And, of course, I knew all about him at that point. They'd done documentaries on this guy. And his thing was he was incredibly creative and clever with what he was doing and saying. So the whole league knew about him. Every player in the league knew when you came to Washington, two rows behind the visitor's bench was going to be this guy. He's an attorney, very successful in Washington, D.C., very bright guy, and he was going to come super prepared with some of the best material you've ever heard in your life and ride certain guys throughout the night. So I knew all about him, met him. It was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then for the first 2 years I was there, while we were still out in Landover, he still had his seat down there, and you can hear him as a player. Even, you know, he wasn't heckling our team, hearing him heckle the other guys. I mean, some of the great lines he had with some of these players, you're dying. And then actually what happened, we went down to – we changed from Bullets to Wizards. We changed the colors, the arena. We moved downtown to D.C. He did not renew season tickets. So Robin Ficker basically went by the wayside in 1997 from Washington. And that was the last great creative heckler that we had in the NBA. And there were several of them during his era that could compete with him. He was the most famous one of all. So I think the players look at it now. I think what happened was over the years – some things, lines were being crossed from fans to players. I definitely believe that. And I sat there and listened to a lot of that. I caught some of it, but I heard some teammates catch it way worse, particularly star players. Lines were being crossed, and they've cleaned a lot of that up at the arenas with what players are allowed to be subjected to. And I think that was a good thing because it was just absolutely too much, too profane, too personal, very, very offensive stuff. And I've never bought into the mentality, I bought a ticket, I can do what I want. I've never really bought into that. Ficker was in a different category because he kept it clean. It was almost like a roast. He was conducting a roast every night, and he was the host, and it was just hilarious stuff, and most of the players respected it and laughed at it. But then people took it to another level, and they've cleaned a lot of that up. So I think for the most part, players are perfectly cool that they don't have to listen to that interaction right now. And I think actually the whole COVID, you know, playing down in the bubble and now playing in arenas for the most part empty, I think they definitely missed the electricity of the crowd, but there's also another element to this that's turned it into their AAU days again. And I think it's been fun for some of these guys to be able to do that. It's a little bit less of a pressure packed environment. And I think some of these guys have actually kind of enjoyed that, knowing that it's only temporary. We got to get these people back in the buildings at some point and get the electricity back. But in the meantime, I think the camaraderie of the team is stronger than ever because you're really in there by yourselves creating your own energy.
And as a Knicks fan, a fan of one of the youngest teams in the league, I am happy that the Meatpacking District is closed. Tim Legler, thanks for joining the show, my man. Keep up the great work on SiriusXM.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Loved catching up with Legs. Great stories about Robin Ficker as well. Ben Lyons hanging out with Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The fact that he already missed time, came back, literally the game on Sunday, he says, I felt 100% fine. He plays 14 minutes and it actually resurfaces and it's much worse than it was before, is very alarming, I think, to the Anthony Davis, to the Lakers, that, hey, this could be something now that we need to err on the side of caution to an extreme.
That was Tim Legler sharing his thoughts with us on the Anthony Davis situation in Los Angeles. Ben Lyons and Ryan Leaf in Los Angeles filling in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show. And we thank you so much for spending a part of your day with us, talking a little basketball with Legs and what the Lakers are going to do with Anthony Davis moving forward. I don't think we see him on a court till April, middle of April.
Well, you made the point, like, you said it before, when, before we had even had Dr. Clapper on Monday, was, you know, hey, let him sit until a couple weeks before the playoffs start. Let him get his legs back a little bit before then. But let's, I mean, to Tim's point, who cares? Like, Houston Rockets in the 2 years that that Jordan wasn't playing, right? I think they won the title, and I think they ended up being like the fifth or sixth seed the next year. And Elijah Wan and that crew still walked through and won it again, I believe.
Yeah,
I
the Rockets were a six seed in 95 when they won their second of two titles in a row.
Right,
you're absolutely
so,
right. They're in a different class now, and they're playing for different things.
Yes, so if they are a six seed, and to his point, you know, home court advantage doesn't, you know, this year doesn't mean anything. It does mean something in the fact that you're familiar with the, like, your court. You play 41 games on that court, so there's some familiarity that than they are from bouncing around from other place to other place, but it's not the same this year in terms of having to go into a rabid, you know, a field house where people are on top of you.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said, though, for routine. Athletes, as you know, are creatures of habit. So the idea of sleeping in your own bed, going to your own practice facility, kind of having your at-home routine, if you have family, you're around them, that can be advantageous. But you're right. It's not like you're going on the road into Oklahoma City and they've given out a million blue and white thunder sticks. Like, it's definitely not that this year. You know, but here's the thing with the Lakers, Brian. Let's say Anthony Davis just didn't exist. Let's say he was still down in New Orleans. Give me LeBron James, Montrez, Schroeder. Like, Caruso, that team should go to the Western Conference Finals. Like LeBron has turned Mo Williams into an all-star over the years. He went to the NBA Finals. Look up the 2007 roster that LeBron went to the Finals with. Look up the 2017 roster that LeBron went to the Finals with. I mean, he's taken some real schmendrakes to the promised land. I mean, in 2015, when Kevin Love was hurt and Kyrie went down with the bum knee, the second highest scorer in the NBA Finals for the Cleveland Cavaliers was once a Nick, always a Nick, Timofey Mozgov. And that's when Matthew Dellavedova became a household. Like, LeBron can, he can, you know, make a five-star meal by going to the 7-Eleven and you know, braising some Slim Jim. Like, he can really, like, he's a magician when it comes to putting this together. And I think even in year 18 in MVP season, he alone is enough to lead them without Anthony Davis. So they should be fine.
I agree. And that's why he reminds so much of Kobe Bryant, of Michael Jordan, because he made other players around him so much better. That's the true, like, sign of leadership and greatness, is that you can take anything and anybody and make them part of something special. And that's what he's been able to do throughout his career. I mean, getting to the finals in Cleveland many of those times, is you're just like, I mean, you know, but you at some point you got to have a complimentary piece to get over the top. And if they don't have him, it's going to be problematic. And that's why I asked him that question about, okay, so if the Lakers can't be the Lakers this year, who in the West? And I'm glad I heard the Utah Jazz, because
the team-in-law is exciting, Ryan. Let me tell you, I've been watching some Utah Jazz basketball for about 7-8 years now, since I've known my wife. She is by no means a diehard fan. She, of course, remembers the glory days of Stockton to Malone, but that's kind of where the Jazz conversation stops. However, I've used this as an opportunity to now watch more basketball. I'll say, the Jazz are on. I got to watch the Jazz. Or
babe, the Jazz are on.
We're in town with the in-laws. We got to go to the, you know, the event center.
And it's great for
it's
you, because they're a mountain team. So you're talking about, I can watch the Knicks before and then watch the Jazz after. I get it.
It's been fantastic. And they've been fantastic. And I made that point about continuity as a big reason for this success. Having the same guys, same coach for just even 3 years in the NBA is somewhat of a novelty now. I mean, look at the job that Steve Nash has been tasked to do in Brooklyn. Yeah, we'll give you three of the best players, but one might not be in the lineup because of COVID. One might not be in the lineup because of his mental. The other role players haven't done it before. And, oh, yeah, you've never been a head coach. Go and figure it out. And I think that's why they've had a couple, you know, missteps along the way, although they get a great win in Steve Nash's homecoming last night. Ben Lyons and Ryan Leaf filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. But the idea of LeBron in year 18 doing what you said about leadership, making everyone in the organization better. That security guard guarding the players' interest, he's going to have it on lockdown a little bit more when he sees King James walk through the locker room. And that's such a real thing. From your career, you were around Junior Seau. Like, how is he able to elevate everyone else, not just with his own greatness, but that inspiration to get people to be their best?
Because he outworked everybody. And I think that's the biggest thing. You watch Kobe outworked everybody. You watch LeBron and Michael Jordan. They just outworked everybody. They were there first. If Junior Seau is there at 6 a.m., how can I afford to be there at 6:05, right? I better try harder, because he's the best player and he works the hardest. And so you follow in suit. And then he was just such a breath of fresh air in terms of how he interacted with everybody. When it came to the security guard, to the equipment manager, he taught me a lot on how to treat the guys that really take care of you in the facility, and that was really the equipment managers, the athletic trainers, the people that you spend more time, the strength and conditioning coaches. Those are the guys you spend all your time with. You rarely spend a lot of time with your coaches. They're off game planning, getting ready. These are the guys that take care of you. And I remember when I was in Dallas and I got down there. I remember I showed up one night. And we were watching the national championship in college football. And I just brought in a bunch of pizzas for the equipment managers. And we all sat around and watched Nebraska-Miami playing the Rose Bowl. And that for me was what it was all about.
That's what it's all about.
Well, I got taught. Junior taught me.
Yeah. Now, you had the privilege of playing with Junior Seau, an all-time great. And I want to, coming up next, get some more stories from your playing days, because we've talked a lot about the NFL as it is today. But I do want to look down memory lane a little bit, because you do such a great job of sharing your story and inspiring so many people. That's something I've really learned about you this week and hanging out over these days, is that there are so many people, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram, who look to you for inspiration and seek advice. So we're going to get into some of that next. You can hit us up 844-204-RICH and talk to Ryan and look for some life advice. So we'll get into that next. Plus, we got Cynthia Freeland coming up in about 20 minutes, who's going to break down all the numbers behind the NFL. It's Ben Lyons and Ryan Lee filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show.